Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever near as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I
God, thanks for another day's journey. We bless him for being God, and he's God all by himself. We are so grateful for another week A whole week has passed, and now we are back to this place and time. We are certainly glad that God has brought us back to continue doing this work. We're talking about the end time. We've been ministering from Matthew chapter 24, and we are certainly grateful about it. Bless his holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good, and his mercies endure to all generation. To all generation, God is a merciful God. The prophet Jeremiah recalled the mind. He remembered his affliction, the wormwood and the gall. He remembered it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we seek. We are so glad and we are so grateful that God is a loving, compassionate God who's moved with compassion upon his brow. And it's because of his mercies that we are here. Grace and mercy has kept us. His keeping power, his mercy. Certainly we don't deserve it, but because of who he is, because of his loving kindness, his compassion, we are yet here to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We bless his holy and righteous name. We bless him again, and we bless his name. Truly the Lord is good. Truly the Lord is good. Matthew 24 is where we have been laboring in the gospel. There's so much here, and we would like to continue our teaching, and we would like to go back to Matthew 24 on tonight and pick up where we left off. Matthew chapter 24. Our lesson has been coming from Matthew 24 and verse 9 through 14. Amen. Let us start reading Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start at verse 9. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offered and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And ye shall therefore see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. We certainly give God thanks for his word. We certainly give God thanks for his word and the hearers of his word. Amen. We bless the Lord, y'all. We bless his holy and righteous name. Let us go to the throne of grace, to the throne of mercy, that we might find grace, find mercy to help in the time of need. Heavenly Father, we lift our hands as a sign of surrender unto you. Father, we just cry out We call out to your name, the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we exalt that holy and righteous name in the earth. Father, as we come before your throne, we ask for forgiveness of sin, that you wash us in your blood, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness is our prayer. That you give us of your Spirit, Lord God, the Holy Spirit, fresh and anew, a first outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Father, we just ask that the Holy Ghost would lead us and guide us and teach us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, the things that are necessary for this worship experience on today. Father, we bless you for the Holy Ghost. We bless you for everything, every good and every perfect gift come from the Father of love. And we give your name praise, Lord. Now, Lord, we take authority over every hindering spirit that comes to hinder this worship, because we bind it up, we're in it helpless. Our soul says, yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. And we ask that you would send your word, Lord, with power and authority, that you would speak, Lord, that your people would hear, and that they would know what it is that you require of them at this day and at this time. Speak, Lord. Send your word that we can know what your instructions are, your instructions in righteousness. Father, we cry out for souls everywhere. We ask you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit, that there be conviction in the heart, that the Holy Spirit minister grace to the heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we ask that you would bless now in a very special way. Teach us thy way, Lord God. Lead us in the way of salvation. Keep us, Lord God, from this evil, perverse generation. Keep us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your keeping power. Bless us now, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept, is our prayer. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we thank God. We thank God. We thank God again, and amen. Oh, yes. Matthew chapter 24. The disciples came to Jesus privately upon the Mount of Olives, and their question was, give us a sign, Lord, of your coming and the end of the age. Give us a sign. Jesus was on his way to Calvary. His time here, his ministry, was coming to an end. So, you know, he was preparing his disciples for his, and because they recognized that he was leaving, and he promised that he would come again and receive them unto himself. So they asked him for a sign of his coming back. Sign of his coming back at an end of the age. Amen? So in the earlier verses of this chapter, you know, it talked about the deception. We talked about the deception. Many shall be deceived. Talked about the deception and how the deception is a religious deception. You know, many shall be deceived. You know, this is one of the signs of the end time. You know, all of these, a great falling away from the faith. So we thank God for the Word of God that gives us understanding of this time that we're living in. The end time is characterized by perilous times. Reminds us that in the latter day, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, we are living in this time, according to the Bible. One of the significant verses that Jesus talks about is found in Matthew 24, in verse 32. When the fig tree shed forth its tender branches, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. The generation that saw Israel become a nation which was May 12, 1948, would see it all for, as the sign of his coming in the end of the age. You know, we are that generation that will see Jesus come back for the rapturing of the church. You know, this is what's, you know, we're waiting for his soon coming, soon appearing, you know. So we have to be in a state of readiness. One of the things that the Bible tells us to pray always, Luke 16, I believe it says, pray always, pray that you be accounted worthy to escape. So the church's position at this hour is a position of prayer. Position of prayer. The world that we're living in, you know, they're in a situation, and the situation is the fact that we have fallen so far away from God. It's going to take prayer to, like, this generation that we live in today was prayed out. And the generation that is here today must be prayed out. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take God interceding on their behalf. It's going to take God's hands, God's sovereign providential will be worked out through prayer to save this generation that we live in. It's going to take a lot of prayer, fasting, supplication, laying before God, calling out to the name of the Lord to reach into this generation and bring many out alive. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer, the Bible says, of the righteous availeth much. So we must, Jesus had to pray. Saints of old had to pray, so we must pray and trust God. Amen. Matthew chapter 24. Let be a falling away first. The Bible let us know that the end did not come. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's turn there for a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what this holdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mysteries of iniquity does already work. Only he now, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who cometh after the work of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivedness and all unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, and they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but has pleasures in unrighteousness. We certainly give God thanks for his word. When the church is raptured, he who now will let, when the church is removed from the world, from the earth, Jesus Christ will come back in the cloud to receive his bride, you know, receive the church. And once the church is raptured, then the man of sin, then Satan, or the, the Antichrist, the son of Satan, the Antichrist can be revealed. Then shall he be revealed. There is 70 weeks, Daniel's 70th week, the 69th week the Messiah was cut off. There's 1 week left in the balance, 7 years. Once the church is removed, then the 70th week begins. The treaty is signed. You know, the treaty is signed for peace, that there be peace in Israel. But in the middle of the week, the treaty is broken. Abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel's chapter 9, verse 27. You read about the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Now just think about it. In Matthew 24, all of the prophets that Jesus could have talked about, all of the great prophets Jesus could have talked about, but he brought them to this time and this statement that was, this promise that was made, or this prophecy that was made by Daniel. When they see peace and safety, the Bible said, then sudden destruction come upon them and to dwell like a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They receive not the love of the truth. So God turned them over to a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. The Jews, you know, are waiting on their Messiah. When Jesus was here, doing miracles, opening up the blinded eyes, feeding the multitudes, healing the sick, and all manner of diseases, you know, speaking and, you know, in the synagogues, and, you know, they rejected him. They despised him. You know, they couldn't receive the fact that he was the promise sent by the Father. So they believed the lie as opposed to believing the truth. Amen? Let's look at what it says here in verse. Let's look at that verse 10. And with all deceivingness and unrighteousness in them, they perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Jesus did all of these things not because he didn't know that he was God. They didn't know. Even the devil knew. The demons knew that he was God. Jesus, I knew. Paul, I knew. But who are you? Even the devil knew that he was God. But for whatever reason, the only person that they could see him as was Joseph's son. They remember where he grew up as a carpenter's son. And it was hard for them to see him outside of his humanity. They saw him, they couldn't see him as the Son of God. They could only see him as a man, a mortal man. You know, it's and that's, you know, people become very common. It's very easy to become very common with the anointing, and of course with that, you know, it's hard to receive and do miracles. And people, you know, get so close and so comfortable and so accustomed to certain things and certain ways, you know, they can't receive it. Matthew chapter 24. Let's get back to this word. So, the deception, you know, this God turned them over to a strong delusion that they might believe the lie. When the church is removed, then the Antichrist is revealed, the man of sin. And he comes with all kinds of signs and wonders, all kinds of diplomacy. Again, he signs a treaty with Israel so that there would be peace in Israel. You know, there would be peace. You know, we're talking about a situation here that is beyond our imagination. The kind of things that are going on, lawlessness and the killing and the slaughtering of human beings. You know, we're talking about a situation that's totally out of control, beyond the facet of our understanding. You know, this one world order, which is already in place, and of course, the Antichrist is the head of that system, and the one world government, the one world banking system. And when he's put into power, you know, we see the man of sin sitting on the throne. If we go to Revelation chapter 13, we're going to start at verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. This time called the tribulation. You know, the church has been raptured. There's 7 years of tribulation. The Antichrist has power here on the earth, or control here in the earth. It's going to be a time like has never been before, called Jacob's Troubles. People are going to be killed by numbers. I mean, the numbers that we see killed are without number. You know, there was a great number that John saw coming up out of the great tribulation that no man could number. They literally, figuratively, gave their heads or gave their lives. By refusing to receive the mark of the beast, they were slaughtered, they were killed for their testimony. This happened once before. It happened with the early church. They had to hide in caves and, you know, sneak around and, you know, go from house to house to worship. And when they were caught, they were killed, they were thrown to the lions, they were crucified, they were beaten, they were beheaded because they believed and they loved the Lord and they gave God his life and refused to, even with the giving of their own life, refused to denounce him. It's going to be a terrible time. It's going to be a tragic time. We see here the Antichrist speaking all kinds of blasphemy, declaring himself to be God, and sitting in the temple, declaring himself to be God and to be worshipped as God. You know, he erects an image. You know, and request that people would bow down before the image. It's going to be a very serious, it's going to be a very bad time, or a very dangerous time here on the earth. Very dangerous. We got to live a life and a lifestyle that we be rapture ready. In other words, when the Lord comes, we be ready to meet him. You know, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We must learn how to live holy, live righteous. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. Holiness without, no man shall see God. We must learn how to mortify the deeds of the flesh, crucify this flesh and the deeds of this flesh. We must live a life that glorifies God in our flesh. We must learn how to be led by the flesh. There's nothing we can do in this flesh that pleases God. You know, being prayerful, walking in the Spirit, walking in obedience, humbling ourselves, obeying the Word of God, sanctifying ourselves, setting ourselves apart for God, and walking and living a lifestyle that glorifies God in our mortal flesh. We got to be ready. Again, these are dangerous times that we're living in. These are the times, this is the times where he's soon to come. And we need to be in that rapture zone, be in that place where we can meet the Lord and see the Lord. If we're not ready, the rapture is going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when he comes, and when the trump of God, when he opens his mouth and it's the trump of God, the Bible says the dead in Christ arise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Of course, if we miss the rapture, then, of course, just think about it. Now we have, the only way we're going to get in, God gives us a second chance, or give them a second chance, those that are left, and the only way that they can get in through refusing the mark of the beast and to be killed, slaughtered, beheaded for their testimony. It's going to be a tragic situation, lawlessness, you know, inhumane treatment of people. You know, it's going to be a tragic situation. The one world order, the one world system is already in place. And to be able to buy and trade, to be able to go to the doctor or go to the hospital, do any kind of business or do any kind, to receive any kind of service or any kind of help in a humane way, you have to have the mark of the beast. You know, we have to be in a place to be rapture ready. So when the Lord comes, you don't have to deal with any of that. But of course, the religious society, you know, above all things, God would desire that we be hot or cold, but, you know, lukewarm, that less sustained church that is neither hot nor cold. You know, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I mean, people who live, that live carnal Christian, that live defeated lives, you know, having a knowledge of God but don't have the power to live anything either. So we live below our privileges and our, you know, as we represent Christ in the earth, we are his witnesses, we are his body. People live defeated Christian lives. And nobody can believe in our credibility, in our integrity. So those are the people that are going to be left because they're not going to be rapture ready. They're not going to be raptured. They're not going to be in a place, you know, they're not going to be blood washed. The Bible says he's coming back to a church that's blood washed, a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You know, perfect. You know, a chastened bride. This church is a chastened bride. So we have to be conscious. It takes to be a saint. And living a saintly life. You know, the world that we live in, you know, you'd be surprised. You know, we live in this world, and of course, because of the system and the problems and the world around us, people trying to survive in the midst of all of this, you know, you can be very easily, you know, taken in and just simply, you know, doing things that you would think would be appropriate, but simply not in the will of God. You know, the natural man and the way he perceives life. You know, we can be easily deceived. You know, easily deceived. You know, broad is the way the Bible tells us that leads to destruction. And narrow and straight is the way that leads to eternal life. So there's a way that seemeth right to a man, the Bible says, the end leadeth to destruction. You know, being a good person is not going to help us. We're not going to make it because we're a good person. When we learn how to walk in the Spirit, crucifying the deeds, modifying the deeds of this filthy flesh, Paul cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, we're handcuffed to something called memories. You know, memories mess most of us up. You know, good and evil is present with each and every one of us. You know, when there's no more, Paul said, there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing, nothing. And when we allow our feelings and our emotions to take us, you know, to lead us, and, you know, we're talking about your intellect, your human will, you know, this is how people get deceived. You know, your soul is the seat of all of your emotions. You know, all of your emotions is in the seat of the soul. And you got your intellect, you got your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. You know, this is part of the soul, your mind. And then you got something called your will. All of this is a part of your soul, the seat of the soul. You know, you are spirit. We have to learn how to operate in the spirit so we can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we're not talking about your will, because it's so easy to do what you think as opposed to doing and seeking God's face for his will for your life. The one that he said, many shall come in my name and said, I've done all of these things. You know, only those that do the will of the Father, only those that will do the will of the Father. This Christian life, or the saintly life, is a life of dedication and consecration, where we commit ourselves. You know, the thing about being saved is making Christ the head of your life, you know, making him Lord, making him Lord. You know, this is something that we have to do. You know, it's easy, you know, it's hard to live this life when you're pulled into all kinds of directions. We live multi-directional lifestyles, and, you know, we get caught up in all kinds of things in this world. And it's so easy to become diluted and, you know, caught up in issues and family affairs and trying to make money and all these different things that have nothing to do with nothing but eternal life. You know, these things in this world are temporal. You know, the temptation that is here, the world systems, you know, we can't get caught up in this world by the love of the things of this world. Can't get caught up in this world. I mean, he who loved this world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean, I'm just laying it out here. It's just there's the calling of God is of a high calling. You know, high calling with high integrity, consecration. I mean, we got to go there. We have got to get to that place where it's all about Jesus. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I have not obtained, neither were I not ever apprehended that which has apprehended me, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Consecration, you know, being consecrated, being sanctified. Set apart. It's going to take love. You know, it's going to take love. You know, it's if a man say that he's not sinned, the Bible says he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if we sin, we have an advocate, and who's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. This is the reason why we have to confess our sins. You know, confess our sins to Christ, to God. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Again, coming back for a blood wash, when God looks for his bride, he sees the blood. Are you covered in the blood? Church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You've got to be rapture ready. In other words, we got to be rapture ready. You know, rapture ready. Is our affections on the things above? Is our affection on God? Is it on the things above and not on the things of this earth? Our life is hidden in God in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. If a man love his life, he said, let him keep his life. But if he hated his life and desired the life that God can give him, then he gains life eternal. I mean, we got to decide for whom we are and the whom we are. You know, we got to decide. You know, forsaking all to follow Jesus. If any man come after me, the Bible says, let him deny himself. And let him pick up this cross and follow me daily. If any man come after me, first, let him deny himself. This cross and follow me daily. The old song was pick up the pen and said, is there? Was Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? The psalmist says, no, there's a cross for me and there's a cross for you. Suffering. We're not talking about sickness. We're talking about this flesh. When this flesh lusts at the things of this world, when you deny yourself or deny your flesh, then we suffer. Because flesh still wants gratification. Still wants pleasure. so wants to be fed. Flesh. Fleshial cravings and desires. When you starve this flesh of the things that it desires, then there is suffering because the flesh still wants these things. Again, we have got to be rapture ready. You got to be in a place watching, waiting, and anticipating his coming. Time and the season, brother, when you have no need, the Bible says that I write unto you. For yourself no perfect, but the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The time is evident. The time that we're living in is written on all over the walls. It would take a blind man not to be able to see the times that we're living in. You know, we're living in a very evil and perverse world, a nation that has forgotten about God. So what do? Look up. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. That's what the Bible says. You know, we can't get so at ease and so comfortable down here in Zion. The time is at hand. Let us redeem the time. Make sure that your calling and election is sure. Make sure. A church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You know, we are marred. The things about us, the perfecting of the saints. This is what the word is for. The word is for perfecting us, for, you know, getting us in line, you know, letting us understand how to do it, not our will, but let God's will, you know, transforming of the mind, renewing of the mind by the word. I mean, the word regenerates and cleanses. We're cleansed by the word. So we've got to get in the Bible, study, and read, and be transformed. Holy Spirit is there to guide and to teach us and bring things back to our remembrance, but you've got to put the word in there so that the Holy Spirit will have something to bring back. We've gotten so at ease down here. We certainly thank God for what he's doing. We certainly thank God for what he's doing. He's certainly patient with us. His passion, his compassion, and his mercies. And, you know, God is a merciful God who's, you know, just long-suffering and waiting on us, trying to get us open, waking up, and trying to get us right and ready for that time when Jesus is soon to come. Will you be ready, people of God? Will you be ready? Will you be rapture ready? That's my question. Will you be ready when he comes? These are questions that we must ask ourselves. These are the things that we need to ask ourselves. It's going to take God all the way. It's going to take him. It's going to be, he is our help. It's going to take God. It's more of him and less of us. And when we learn how to yield our members, yield ourselves, ask him to to fill us up. When we surrender ourselves, when we get out of the way, when our soul says, yes, Lord, yes to your will, when we do it the way he would have it done, to be acceptable in his sight. So we seek his face and we call on his name. We humble ourselves, we bow in his presence and we cry, yes, Lord. We're going to stop here tonight and thank God for what he's sharing with us. Truly the Lord is good and his mercy endureth to all generations. You know, above all things, we don't want to go, you don't want to miss the rapture and have to go through something called the tribulation and to be caught up in this world after the church is raptured. You don't want to do that. That's not a situation that you want to go through. I can assure you it's something more tragic than anything that you've ever heard of. People are crying out that black lives matter. Of course, all lives matter, but in this situation, it doesn't matter who you are. If you don't have the mark of the beast, they're going to force you to take it, to bow down to the image of the beast, or you're going to be killed. It's just that simple. You know, it's not going to be any kind of situation where you can negotiate. Your negotiation will lend you, you know, will lend you to lose your head. That's the negotiation that you will come to. It's either the mark or you die. We don't want to be faced with those kinds of choices. But, of course, if you're caught up in that situation where you're faced, forced to make a choice, then you certainly don't want to take the mark of the beast because hell would be your portion. You know, you will be eternally damned after the Battle of Armageddon. You know, all of those people are killed in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and all of those souls will go to hell. They will appear at the White Throne Judgment where their judge Word let us know that death and hell is thrown into what is called the lake of fire, which is the second death. We're going to stop here tonight. We thank God for the word. Thank God for the hearers of the word. I'm grateful that God took us this way because, you know, this is a sacrifice and a choice that we have to make. God doesn't force anybody to do anything. You know, God doesn't make us choose. He simply gives us a choice. And we choose on our own. You know, some people think that, of course, God sent people to hell or God forced them to do things. No, God never forces anybody to do anything. You choose on your own. He gives us the understanding. He gives us the knowledge of a thing, and then we choose on our own, based on our understanding, based on our own desires. So we choose. But just keep in mind that there's always consequences behind our choices. The things that we do, there's always going to be some consequences behind our actions. So we choose, and then we have to deal with the results of our choices. So we bless the Lord. I'm grateful that he taught us about how to, you know, how to live right. You know, we have a choice. You know, we can do it here. And now we can, you know, just make preparation to try to live right and do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Or we suffer the consequences later. But we are the generation that will see it all fulfilled. Sign of his coming in the end of this age, this dispensation, which is called grace, that started at Noah's flood. Eventually, all of this will come to naught. Amen. We bless you. We bless the Lord at this time. We certainly give him thanks for the service, the things that he has shared with us. We bless the Lord for these and all things. We praise his holy and righteous name.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hands. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through, but I'm still here. Tell somebody else. Been through storms and rain.
Still here.
but I'm still here. Listen to this. Some people wrote me off, but I'm still here. Jesus wrote me in. I'm still here. I had to cry sometimes. I can't hear you. Come on, say it. I had to go to the doctor. He said I wasn't gonna make it. Does anybody here know God brought you? I can't hear you. Does anybody here know God brought you? Yeah. Oh. Mercy and grace.